on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Live from our nation's capital, this is Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast with Gloria Purvis, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and Father Bjorn Lundberg.
Heavenly Father, as we celebrate the St. Maximian Kolbe, we also celebrate the great gift of EWTN tomorrow, 39 years of blessings that you showered on the world and the church and all people through the gift of Mother Angelica. So we thank you for St. Maximilian, who laid down his life to bring healing and unity. And we also ask your blessing on all our listeners today. Through Christ our Lord, amen.
Amen.
Amen. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High and abides in the shade of the Almighty says to the Lord, my refuge, my stronghold, my God, in whom I trust.
In whom I trust. You know, every time they say in the shade of the Lord, I always think about, you know, the protection. If you've ever been out in what is really hot and uncomfortable, to stand in the shade is just, you feel good. Like you're running to the shade, actually. Like, can I get some shade? Because it's really uncomfortable and hot out of here. I don't know why I always think of that relief and comfort of being so close to the Lord when I hear that in the psalm. But I do when I hear that in scripture.
I like
it. Yeah, that's an awesome psalm that's usually prayed during compline or night prayer. On Sundays. Yeah.
There you go. Well, we're going to have a great show this morning. Lots of things to discuss. What are we talking about, Father?
The fire of love that motivated St. Maximilian Kolbe, who we celebrate today.
I just love him. I can't wait till we talk about him. He was, when I went on a pilgrimage with my husband, when we went to World Youth Today, we were the Maximilian Kolbe Edith Stein group. So
nice.
We went to Germany. So it was just really fantastic. We're also going to talk about why Catholics should be involved in racial justice.
We'll also talk about a good close out the week on a Friday segment. How did a blind woman help the world to see? A woman that was born blind and disabled just got her PhD. So we'll talk about that.
So awesome. You have, if you have some thoughts on any of these topics, please join the conversation. You can email us, morningglory@ewtn.com. You can also, because we are so fancy, reach us by texting. You can text the letters EWTN to 55000. Father, when you laugh, now I completely lost what I was saying.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to make it all serious.
55000, wait for response. Text your first name, how you're listening, and then your comment. Please note the text and data messages. Father, text and message data rates may apply.
It's a miracle I'm awake. And so I've been here by myself all week. So I'm like living on coffee. And thank you, Lord, for some joy.
I'm telling you, it is Friday. So we've made it. We've made it. And tomorrow is the Feast of the Assumption. I'm so excited about that, too. Our Lady.
Our Lady. And then Maximilian Kolbe, like right on the eve. I was like,
I know. Because, yes. I think that was, you know what, I think it's so special because he had such a beautiful devotion to Our Lady. I can't wait to talk about him. He's just, I love Maximilian Kolbe.
And
if
also
y'all
too,
don't know about him, gosh, you can't wait for you to find out.
It's such a big day for EWTN. I mean, tomorrow, but it's the official anniversary, 39 years. But, you know, just to think of all the work that God has done through the network and through Mother. And I mean, you know, it's kind of hard to believe, like, next year's going to be 40 years. It's going to be crazy.
I know. And I, you know, I wonder if Mother Angelica, if she ever had any thought about this is going to be here 39 years. The network is going to be running after I'm gone. You know, I just wonder what she was thinking.
I mean, you know, on one level, I want to say, because she had such faith in God. She just like, you know, her attitude was like, God moves me to do something. I'm going to do it. And if he wants it, he's going to support it. Mm-hmm. And she had big dreams. And she, you know, she saw God doing great things through simple acts of love. But at the same time, too, when you look back at her life and see her starting those shows in the garage and taping,
I know,
you know, Our Father's Hermitage and, you know, the terrible video quality and driving it to Virginia Beach and Pat Robertson and, you know, fighting with the guy at the local whatever TV affiliate over the word, that blasphemous show. I mean, on one level, you can totally see it happening. Then what nun is fighting with the manager of a TV affiliate saying, I only need God? And then driving back, going, what are we going to do? And then they say, we're going to use the garage. Of course they didn't realize that 40 years later, they're going to be around the world.
Well, I knew she had some grit in her when she was putting out Oof. Those tracks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That she would publish these tracks. You know, because everybody knows, or maybe they don't, of these terrible, like, anti-Catholic jack chick tracks.
Yes.
And she put out tracks that were truthful about the faith. And I just thought, you know, she was meant to spread the word. She was meant to do this. And so I'm happy. And just you know, you think about her, yes, saying yes to the Lord, what may have sounded like a ridiculous plan. She said yes. And, you know, look what has come of it. All these
and
fruit.
And it's too bad the secular world couldn't even, I mean, a woman, especially a nun, running one of the world's largest television network, independent television networks.
A cable network.
Mean, cable really? Networks, yeah, mm-hmm. you know, so it's just...
And coming from her background, amazing. You know, her the family pain, the divorce, you know, being the stigma of being raised in a divorced family at a time when that wasn't the norm, and then, the you know, the pain her mom went through. So, I mean, I think mm-hmm. everybody can relate to her, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how many people relate to, like, when she ordered that the $600,000 satellite dish, payment on delivery, and it showed up on the flatbed trucks, and she's in the chapel like, I gotta turn it away, Lord, blew it. And then the guy on the yacht calls up, says he wants to give her $600,000. I mean, most of us be like, yeah, okay, I could like that, but I don't think I would plan for that.
You know, it's something I think that people have, because I remember Father Pacula, who's now gone and passed on, used to work for St. Escrivá. And he says all the time there'd be no money in the account, and the same would be like, just write the check. And it just did drive Father Arnie crazy, but every single moment what they needed would be deposited into the account, whether it was somebody giving it, the donation, whatever. And he said after a while, he just stopped saying, ain't no money in here. You know, he just was like, okay. And I think it's a lesson for us to remember, all money is God's. Everything is his. And when we are doing things according to his will, he will provide. You know, but it's got to be according to his will, y'all. It can't be like, you know what? I think the Lord wants me to do
you a have BMW. To,
Oh, you know, it has to be through deep prayer and understanding that he's going to provide what you need. It may not be like all the extras and all you want, but he's going to provide what you need. Well, let's turn to some stories in the news. What's going on in corn country? And of course, I've got my corn question.
Is
Nebraska corn country? Am I getting that wrong?
Well, I think so, and they also have great cattle. And well, you're not a big steak eater, but they have great steaks out there.
I like a good steak now.
Good. I didn't think. Okay, yeah.
Why don't you think I'd eat steak?
I thought you were vegetarian.
You know, I was a vegan and vegetarian for a long time, but I eat some meat and seafood now.
And then you showed us that, people, you can't see this on the radio. She showed us this video this morning of this funky meal with, like, squid, and it was moving. I was like, no way. She will not eat a Twinkie or a Ho-Ho or a Ding Dong. But then she's showing us this video of, like, squeamy food, and I'm like, whatever.
It was octopus, okay, to my defense. It was octopus, but it was still, all right. So, tell me
back to the news. This is important. This is very important.
Yes.
Nebraska Catholic Conference hails the state legislature passing the ban on dilation and evacuation abortions. So this is huge. So it's usually done the second trimester of pregnancy and results in the dismemberment of a baby. And so this is just, I mean, a vote for civilization. Hello. And so Nebraska legislature yesterday passed the ban on D&E. Abortions. And so Catholic Conference is celebrating, and I think we should be thanking God today for that. So,
and well, you know, the fact that they were able to get that through is something surprising, actually, considering this, people generally don't want to do anything.
Right.
So it is surprising that they would do it. And let's keep Nebraska in prayer, because I'm wondering if there are going to be lawsuits now.
I imagine they will be, yeah.
Yeah, you wonder. Well, in some other news, tennis great Serena Williams said she's become a student of the Bible during the long lockdown, you know, that went because of the coronavirus pandemic, which I'm like, what a great way to be spending your time. And we don't hear that from necessarily a lot of celebrities. Hey, you know what? I haven't been like just hanging out in the pool or whatnot and sipping mimosas and flying
Instagram
around
life,
on my private jet. I have been in the Bible. Good for her. And she says she thinks the Bible is the book that holds the key to achieving racial justice. She said she's quoted as saying, a lot of my time off, I've been studying the Bible. And I feel like the main thing is really believing in God's kingdom. Personally, I think after well over 400 years of having black people treated a certain way to expect change, and it hasn't happened in that long, I feel like it's going to take a long time. Ultimately, I think the only thing that can fix it is what I believe, meaning the Bible.
That's great.
Isn't that something? Yeah, I think what a wonderful thing. A celebrity saying, you know what, turn to God, everybody. Get yourself rooted in his word. That's how we're going to see our way out of all our difficulties. And to that I say amen, sister, amen. Let's see, what else are we talking about? Oh, lasers. You know, every time I think of, what are those things called in Star Wars? They fight with them. Laser saber?
Oh, saber walker?
Lightsabers. Thank you. Too early in the morning to be remembering these made up words. Lightsabers. That's not even a real thing. But here we go.
Like the food you eat.
Like the food I eat. Yeah. Stop. What? All right. What is it about lasers now?
Yeah, so dozens of times over the last decade, NASA scientists have launched laser beams at reflectors the size of paperback novels that are about 240,000 miles away from Earth.
Wait a minute, the reflector is the size of a paperback novel and it's 240,000 miles away from Earth?
Yep, on the moon. And for the first time in over 10 years, they got a signal back. So that could mean, is there aliens on there? No. These are reflectors that were left when man went to the moon, left these panels there. And scientists have been shooting these laser beams and basically bouncing off these panels and reflecting back. But for the past 10 years or so, they've been unsuccessful until just recently. And so these lasers have allowed them to make discoveries about the universe and how it all works. One thing that is interesting that they found is that the Earth and the Moon are slowly drifting apart. At the rate of about a fingernail grows about 1.5 inches per year.
It's not you. It's me.
Yeah. The Earth and the Moon are breaking up. They're slowly shifting apart, drifting apart.
Some counseling.
I know, but I don't. Well, I was thinking, well, maybe they were. It didn't work because why would they leave it there in such a small size? A paperback novel is tiny. My purse is bigger than that.
Well, this is the whole cool thing about this. It's the technology that they can do this.
Okay, yeah, Anyhow, so they've
discovered there's five of those panels on the moon. Yeah, mm-hmm. They were delivered by Apollo 11 and Apollo 14 astronaut crews in 1969 and 1971.
Oh, wow.
And,
okay.
Yeah. And just getting, because these measurements helped them discover things about the universe and stuff. So
that's
pretty cool. Yeah.
I think so. Well, in some other news, I noticed that Apple and Google have pulled Fortnite from the app stores, and the creator of a Fortnite Epic game is suing. So basically, Apple and Google pulled Fortnite because of direct payment disputes, and neither are allowing users to download and install Fortnite on phones through the digital marketplaces. Parents, run quickly, delete Fortnite from your children's devices if you want to get them off the things, because they can't now re-download it. Now's your chance. The Lord heard all your prayers. Get rid of those things now. A lot of people are addicted. A lot of kids are addicted, apparently, to Fortnite. So now's your chance, parents. Okay, what's coming up next, Father?
You should never be discouraged. Let's learn from the fire of love that burned at St. Maximin Kolbe for Our Lady.
And you can find us on Facebook. Look for EWTN Radio.
Join us around the breakfast table of faith. Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast. Email us, morningglory@ewtn.com. Morning Glory, it's Catholic from coast to coast.
Did you know you could wear and share your faith proudly with the EWTN Catholic Original T-shirt? What is that? Well, it'll have emblazoned on it. It'll say, "The Catholic Church is the original church founded by Jesus himself, and EWTN is the original Catholic network founded by Mother Angelica herself in 1981. It does not come with the neck roll that I am doing while I read it. Let me just tell you. I'm just like, yeah, reading this stuff.
Triple snap.
Yeah, Right. This great new shirt combines both originals in one very cool t-shirt and is a great way to start a conversation about the Catholic faith and to tell others where they can tune into to learn more, because EWTN is everywhere. It's made of 100% pre-shrunk cotton. It features EWTN in the center and the EWTN globe on the sleeve. You can choose from gray, navy, antique cherry, I don't know what that is, antique cherry red, and bright pink. Available now at EWTNRC.com. Buy Catholic. Shop EWTNRC.com. I want to see what the antique cherry red looks like, because it's all different. I just can't settle on what that might look like. That's got me curious.
I'm sure it looks cool.
I didn't know what the antique cherry red has. Huh?
I didn't know EWTN did t-shirts.
Oh, what? I'm sure.
I mean, I remember going in the bookstore on campus in Ireland. I remember seeing t-shirts, but maybe they do. Maybe I just did. I always go to the books.
I was about to say, section. Like, you looked at anything else but the book section. I'm like, Wendy, you don't know. You went to the book section. I discovered that they had, when I was in EWTN down in Alabama, they have veils. They have all these other little beautiful accoutrements you could put in the house and stuff. And Deacon, straight to the bookstore. Didn't see anything else. I was like, did you see this? I don't think he even heard
me. You can never have too many books.
Okay, see, this is, okay, never have too many books. I have to agree. I like that. But, you know, you're talking about my favorite saint. One of my favorite saints, I should say, St. Maximilian Kolbe. He's just such an incredible, incredible person. His life story is amazing. But I'm sure you have some more good stuff to tell us about him, Father.
Yes, and we want our Morning Glory listeners to share their thoughts about St. Maximilian Kolbe. Text letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name, how you're listening, and comment. Tell us what you love about St. Maximilian Kolbe. Now, I think, have all of us been to his tomb? Did you go to his tomb where he died in Auschwitz?
No, I did not. When I was, we were in Köln, and then we went to Aachen while we were in Germany, but we didn't make it over, way over there to see Maximilian Kolbe.
Deacon, did you go to his group?
Supposed to be there now, obviously I'm here because of COVID, so. Maybe next time.
When we start our EWTN World Tour and we sell our EWTN swag, we can get the pilgrimage going.
But we should not do to our be, world tour. Mm-hmm.
Not to be flip, but if you go to Auschwitz, it's very powerful. It's very, you know, difficult to go there and the evil that's happened. But then, you know, when you go down in... So I've been to his tomb, or I say tomb, his place where he died
in Poland
at Auschwitz, yes, twice, and it was very moving. And you go down to the cell where he and these other men were held and where they died. I guess that they injected him with carbolic acid or something. But there's a candle. They have a candle in there burning, so you can see the cell. And so on this website, there's this article. I'll tweet it out. Gloria can share it. Sam Guzman, who runs CatholicGentleman.net. wrote this great piece, Fire of Love, Lessons from St. Maximilian Kolbe. Mm-hmm. And he talks about how he didn't really know a lot about Maximilian Kolbe. And when he would see pictures of him, you see him, he looks at first kind of very serious. You know, it seems kind of very ascetic and kind of severe. But then he came to know him and how much he loved Our Lady. So even from childhood, he had these experiences where Our Lady appeared to him and offered him two crowns, the crown of purity and the crown of martyrdom. And so then he learned that everything comes through Our Lady. And that we're all called to evangelize. He was so creative. It was a lot like Mother, you know, using the new media to evangelize back in the early part of the 20th century before World War II. And so there's this beautiful quote. There's a lot of great stuff in this article, but he quotes him extensively. And he has this quote, let us let ourselves be led, then. Let us not attempt to do more than that which Mary wills or more quickly. Let us let ourselves be carried by her. She will think of everything and take care of all our needs, of the soul and of the body. Let us give every difficulty, every sorrow to her, and have confidence that she will take care of it better than we could. Peace then, peace, much peace, and an unlimited confidence in her. Above all, never let yourselves be troubled, never be frightened, never fear anything. The Immaculate, in fact, is she perhaps not aware of everything? If this were not the case, it would really be a problem, unquote. So, you know, it just reminds me of John Paul. reminds me of Mother Angelica, you know, just this huge confidence in Our Lady. Mm-hmm. You know, with all the things that we're dealing with, we want to make the world a better place. We want to deal with all these problems in the church. You can get so overwhelmed, so discouraged. And you've got, I mean, ultimately, of course, right, our Savior is Jesus. We live our faith. But Our Lady is the secret weapon that God has given us to help us to have confidence. So I mean, that's what I love about Maximilian Kolbe, as I've come to know him.
I had read this story of him, a young woman who was Lebanese Catholic had given me some books about Maximilian Kolbe, St. Maximilian Kolbe. And it talks about in his youth, he was walking through the street. I mean, I think he was a priest then. I can't remember. Oh, this is the point I'm making. He's walking through the streets and he heard some youth cussing and talking about Our Lady and just not the right way. And he was so aggrieved by it and so shocked. He went over them and sincerely asked, why do you speak of her in this way? And he was just so like, why would you talk about my mother? You know what I mean? In this way.
Yeah.
And, you know, already if you're dealing with some people that are that uncouth and, you know, that it could be kind of risky to try to confront them.
Yeah.
Like in a serious way to say, why are you talking about my mama like this? That you might get, you know. Might get popped in the mouth, but he did this with such a sincerity that it surprised them, and it gave him an opportunity to talk to them about the Blessed Mother, and that to me just was something I found very touching about him. That instead of him saying, "Oh, they're just some you know uncouth
bad
brutes or whatever,"
that
he was so sincerely shocked and hurt that he was like went over them not like looking for a fight, but like why would you? Why are you saying this? And let me tell you about her, really. You know what I mean?
Right.
To try to help them understand how grievous what they were saying was and how wonderful and beautiful and, you know, Our Lady is. And so I cannot stop thinking of that. Of course, I would like to use his kind of beauty when he talked to people, because I know when I was in corporate America and somebody said something sideways about Our Lady, I'm like, why are you talking about me? You know? And so maybe she gave me that book to try to tell me, Gloria, this is how you deal with people talking about Our Lady, not the way.
I like your way too.
Right.
We want our Morning Glory listeners to chime in. Maybe you had an awesome experience with this great Saint Maximilian Kolbe. Go ahead and send us an email. MorningGlory@EWTN.com. You know, for folks who aren't able to get over to Poland and to learn more about his life and see where he died, which is awesome. You know, if you're over in the Chicago area, right down the street from Mundelein, there's a place called Marytown, and in the kind of basement area there, they have a replica of the cell there, and this different displays about Maximilian Kolbe, which I didn't even know was there. You know, I was there for the first time. I did a book signing, and I went. They took me down there. It was like, oh, it was awesome. So if you ever get over there, it's a great place to learn more about this great saint.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for people, if you know about the Militia Immaculata, which he founded, and there's a youth version of that, the Youth Militia Immaculata, YMI, that I got involved with before I went to World Youth Day for the first time in high school. And I mean, he did so much great work. I mean, in his writings too, when he was studying in Rome in the seminary's early priesthood, you know, he saw the problems with Freemasonry. He saw these problems that were coming in the 20th century. Mm-hmm. It was very prophetic. And then too, he said his first mass at the Church of San Andrea della Frate in Rome, which is where Alphonse Ratisbon was converted on the spot when he had the vision of Our Lady. He was an atheist lawyer, and he wore the miraculous medal, and for 9 days at the prayer, or the memorare, I think. And then he walked into the church on a fluke, and Our Lady appeared to him. He had an infusion of the faith, and he converted on the spot. He became a priest, and that altar of the miracle in that church is where Maximilian Kolbe said his first mass as a priest. So he's just an amazing guy, and if you don't know about him, just encourage people to get to know him and his spirituality. Just like Louis de Montfort, big promoter of consecration to Our Lady, his own, you know, kind of school of how to form yourself, make your life a gift to her. But again, it's so much about confidence. I think that people need a lot of confidence.
I agree. You know, I have an icon of Maximilian Kolbe. In one half of the icon, he's in his Franciscan outfit, and the other half is his concentration camp prisoner's uniform. And it's just really something to ponder on. And I also have an icon of St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, Edith Stein, who also perished at Auschwitz. She's in her Carmelite habit with a big Star of David, you know, the yellow star sewed onto it. And a lot of people went through Auschwitz. And Frank also went through Auschwitz. So what a place. And I keep thinking about St. Maximin Kolbe and his witness. He was a wonderful saint. Please learn more about him. Next, we'll talk about why Catholics should be involved in racial justice.
And how did a blind woman help the world to see? Of course, we want to hear from you. Email us, morningglory@ew10.com, or send us a tweet at EWTN Radio.
Morning Glory, your daily respite from everyday life. We are Catholic from coast to coast on EWTN Radio. On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Live from our nation's capital, this is Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast with Gloria Purvis, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, and Father Bjorn Lundberg.
Heavenly Father, on this feast of St. Maximin Kolbe, we quote from his prayer, "Genuine love rises above creatures and soars up to God. In him, by him, and through him, it loves all men, both good and wicked, friends and enemies. To all it stretches out a hand filled with love. It prays for all, suffers for all, wishes what is best for all, desires happiness for all, because that is what God wants. Amen."
Amen. And I'm going to read from Psalm 32, verse 3 to 4. "You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge."
Oh, beautiful. You sure that's 32?
That's what my little thing said. Psalm. Am I not seeing things right? Is it saying 30? Oh, I'm sorry. It's Psalm 31. I can't see
31.
Y'all. It's
okay,
too small. So I'm looking at the thing, and it's looked like Psalm 32 from a distance, but as I'm looking closely, it's Psalm... Y'all, 31, I can't see.
Yeah, 31.
The one looks like a two. This is, you know what?
One looks dear like
friends,
a two.
Dear
the
friends,
one looks like a two. I can't see.
So we can get Gloria a large print calendar.
Hey, do I need that? I might. You know what it is? They made this so small, only my 9-year-old can read it. The one
exactly.
looks like the two. I can't. Okay, I'm just got it real close up on my face. It's 31. You got it now, Deacon?
Yeah, I got it now. Yeah, that's a beautiful psalm. It's interesting. It starts at verse 2 because verse 1 is actually an instruction. It says, "For the choir master, a psalm of David."
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually the first verse is the instruction. So it actually starts in verse 2. And I love that. "And you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame." So that's why we can never be embarrassed or ashamed of our faith. Even though people may mock us, make fun of us, laugh at us, we are not ashamed because we're standing on the rock. You know, we're standing firm on the truth of Jesus Christ. So nothing to be ashamed of.
The best Amen. Place to be.
Amen.
Amen.
And, you know, shortly after this segment, what will we be talking about, Deacon?
Well, we're going to hear about a wonderful story as we go into our weekend and the beautiful solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, about a woman who was born blind and disabled who helped the world to see.
Oh, beautiful. And right now we're going to talk about why Catholics should be involved in racial justice. And someone I knew before he retired from the USCCB was USCCB is United States Conference
of Catholic Bishops.
Catholic Bishops. Golly, I am just picking up over everything. It's Friday. That's it. It's Friday. That's going to be my excuse. I can't see because it's Friday. I can't talk because it's Friday.
Look, Gloria, I've learned now there are two excuses. Today it's Friday, but everything else, it's COVID. What has happened? COVID. Yeah. Why did we change that? COVID.
People will
Why can't
that?
I read this stupid calendar? COVID.
You know. Right. People will accept it. That's right. And it is too early. It's so early. That's true. Well, Richard Dorfinger used to work in the pro-life office, and he just wrote so many brilliant defenses of life. Well, he's written this article basically as to why Catholics should be involved in racial justice. And he puts it in the backdrop of helping us remember a lot about the anti-Catholic history that was in this country. And in fact, I talked about this all the time when I was talking about the Blaine Amendments and
the Know Nothings
and how people and people were seriously afraid of Catholics, you know, getting political power, and that somehow then the United States would be under control of the Holy Father.
And did you hear about
all these things, huh?
Did you hear about in Philly, excuse me, Philadelphia, how St. John Newman started 40 hours and how that had to do with the Know-Nothings?
No, tell me.
So in Philly, like if you go to Philadelphia, the beautiful Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul, but the windows are super high up on the walls outside because they were afraid that people are going to throw things through the glass because of the Know-Nothings, like throwing like rocks or Molotov cocktails or stuff like that. And so anyway, so they built it that way. But then St. John Newman wanted to bring 40 hours devotion, which was big, like in the Archdiocese of Milan and in Europe, to America. But they were afraid if they left the churches open all night for adoration that people might come in and attack. So anyway, so he's in his office and he's got the plans on his desk for 40 hours and he falls asleep and the candle on his desk falls over and the office catches on fire and everything burns. He survives. The only thing that didn't burn were the plans for the 40 hours.
That's
so he took it as a sign from God to go ahead, despite the anti-Catholic bigotry, the injustice, the Know-Nothings, go ahead and do it. So it's back to you.
And so if people are wondering, who are the Know-Nothings? They were a semi-secret organization of this party that really their whole intent was to prevent Catholics and immigrants from being elected to political offices. And his members hoped to deny these people jobs in the private sector, arguing that the nation's business owners needed to employ true Americans. And the reason they were called Know-Nothings, actually that was like a derisive term for the party, is when people would ask them about their group and organization, they'd be like, I know nothing. And so that's why people called them Know-Nothing. Outsiders derisively called them Know-Nothings, and the name stuck. They were very much anti-Catholic, very much anti-immigrant, and they had a lot of sway, actually. And that's how we ended up with things like the Blaine Amendment, which on its face seemed neutral. Oh, we don't want to allow sectarian, blah, blah, blah. But sectarian was code for Catholic. And we just had a case at the Supreme Court dealing with the effects of the Blaine Amendment. And so this is when I was talking about the systemic bias, you know, that has consequences long after things were put in place. And that's when people talk about things like systemic racism. And this would be an example of systemic anti-Catholic bias that had permeated throughout the U.S. and to this day has an effect on Catholics, on Catholic education. And, we just got this, won this case at the Supreme Court. But so Richard Dorfinger in his letter basically is walking us through all the anti-Catholicism. I shouldn't say all of it. I'll say some of the anti-Catholicism in the United States. And he was talking about when the U.S. Constitution was sent to the states for ratification, some objected to its ban on religious tests for public office, claiming that without such a test, popery may dominate the country or a pope become president. I mean, it's kind of wild when you think about that, right? It really is kind of wild. And then he then goes forward and starts talking about the Knights of Columbus and how they were founded to deal with the Klan that was both racist and anti-Catholic. And so he's reminding readers that, you know, not that long ago, and in fact still today, there's a lot of anti-Catholic bias. Now he's saying it's not in any way, shape or form like is comparable to our country's shameful history of racism. He reminds people Catholics were not dragged here in chains and enslaved. Okay, so there's a difference between anti-Catholic bias and racism. But nonetheless, he said racism has been called the original sin of our nation. And he's like, American Catholics aren't without sin either in this regard, as even some religious orders and dioceses once owned slaves and resisted racial justice. He says his point is this. Catholics should be in the forefront of the fight against racism in our society for two reasons. He says, first, Catholic teaching declares our equal dignity before a loving God. And second, historically, we can appreciate what it feels like to be looked down upon, to be seen as inferior by other Americans. And the struggle against bigotry is one struggle, and it is ours. So these are, you know, just two reasons that Richard Dorfinger gives as to why Catholics should be involved and be in the forefront of the movement for racial justice. And I'm sure our listeners probably have lots of thoughts on that, and we'd love to hear from you. Could you email us, morningglory@ewtn.com?
I think it's providential that you're just talking about this article, this letter, on the feast of Maximilian Kolbe, because you know, I keep striking me every time you say it, should be on the forefront, should be on the forefront. I think about him going and giving his life in Auschwitz, you know, this place of hatred and this place of destruction of, you know, many people, but primarily, you know, anti-Jewish. And, you know, and again, and it's all tied in with the Feast of the Assumption and EWTN and Our Lady, because it's through Our Lady that we get the grace to stand at the foot of the cross. How are we going to stand on the front lines of any movement? I mean, for good, unless we can lay down our lives like Jesus. And the only way we can do that is through grace, Our Lady's channel of grace. So, yeah, Maximilian Kolbe was the fruit of that spirituality and kind of an, like you said earlier, like an icon. So,
yeah, it's good to, you know, it's good to know our history. Sometimes it's painful to go back and revisit things, you know, and that happened, mistakes that we've made. But sometimes you have to go back and study the past so you don't repeat them in the future.
Well, absolutely.
You know, one of the things I think about is, especially with this Feast of Our Lady tomorrow, she's all our mother. You know what I mean? She's
everybody.
All our mother. And if we just could remember that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, we are all, you know, we have this unity. I imagine it must be grievous to the Lord to see how we just cannot get along. And how we have hatred for each other. And if we would think about what unifies us, what were you going to say, Father?
No, I was going to say, totally, because it's only in Jesus that the whole, he's the answer to everything. Christ is the answer. He's going to bring healing. He's going to bring unity. And I thought about, like, you know, when she appeared in Rwanda and she appeared in, you know, Our Lady of Kibeho and then, like, when she appeared in Guadalupe, she appeared as a native. Like, here, it was so fascinating, that story, how when Archbishop Zumarraga was praying to Our Lady, because they're having so much hard time evangelizing, because the natives equated many of the missionaries with those who were exploiting the people. And so they weren't having progress in evangelizing. So he prays this novena to Our Lady. And he asked for this sign of the Castilian roses that only grow in Castile, in Spain. It doesn't tell anybody. And then she appears to Juan Diego. And then she appears as a native mestiza. And then, you know, the iconography of the tilma, of the image, because that's the language that the people had, that they never written language. It was an iconographic language. She spoke to them in their language. You know, she appeared to them in a way that they could understand. And after that, like 9 million people were baptized in Mexico. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, absolutely.
I just say, y'all, we need to be involved. We have a vision of who the human person is. Catholics, our understanding of justice, that everyone gets what they are due, and that we have to really think about that, and that if someone getting what they are due does not mean that we are in a position of less than. And, you know, if we could just be more charitable, more hospitable, more loving, that's the answer. Not running to our corners and wanting more and more and more for myself and nobody else. You know, we need to be involved in the movement, because we have a vision of the human person, I think, that liberates everyone. You know, and it's a movement. We understand what justice really is. Deacon, were you about to say something?
Oh, no. I think it's a great opportunity for parishes, because a lot of people are talking about this issue, addressing this issue. You know, the 2018 Bishop's Pastoral Letter, Open Wide Your Hearts, you know, a good opportunity to go back and really break open some of these documents and to study them in parishes, you know, and invite, you know, if your parish doesn't have much diversity, you know, invite some folks from neighboring parishes that have a Hispanic community or Native American community or Asian community, Black community, bring them in and sit down and not only talk about the documents, but hear people's stories. Mm-hmm. You know, here's my experience in the church, and, you know, and be like the Good Samaritan, be that Samaritan. Don't just walk by. You know, begin involved.
One of the things I would suggest to people, since we're social distancing, is to watch a documentary like Eyes on the Prize, and then do a Zoom where the parish talks about it over Zoom. What did you think? What did you feel? What did you learn? Just a thought. What comes up next, Deacon?
How did a blind woman help the world to see?
We're the Catholic wind in your sails this summer. Morning Glory, it's Catholic, from coast to coast. We're on Twitter at EWTN Radio. Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.
Buenos dias. Hay un modo de celebrar. Oh, wait a minute. English. I've been messing up all my stuff this morning. Can't read, can't speak, speaking the wrong language. Okay, here we go. Here's a great way to remember St. Maximilian Kolbe. It's our book and DVD set with Holy Card. Save 25% when you buy them together. I like a good deal. The book, Forget Not Love, The Passion of Maximilian Kolbe, is by author André Fassard, and he tells the historic story of St. Maximilian Kolbe, modern apostle of Catholic evangelization and Marian spirituality, as well as a martyr of charity. It's item number 2755, and you can also get the DVD, Ocean of Mercy. It's filmed in 20 cities across Poland and the U.S. Look into the lives of St. Faustina, St. Maximilian Kolbe, and Pope John Paul II. They are modern-day apostles of mercy, item number 6226D. And the Holy Card features a prayer to St. Maximilian. It's item number 800303. And they're available now at EWTNRC.com. Buy Catholic, shop EWTNRC.com. Woo! I made it, y'all.
Well, if you're going to speak Polish, then I was going to be really impressed. But.
Oh, don't get me started. Dziękuję. Gotcha.
Dziękuję.
these are my Polish words.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, we're going to talk about now how did a blind woman help the world to see? Mm-hmm. And, of course, you want to hear from our Morning Glory family. Join the conversation. Email us, morningglory@ewtn.com, and tell us your first name and how you are listening. Came across this story. I was just very heartened by it. This beautiful young woman, Maria Chiara, 26 years old, blind and disabled from birth, just graduated from the University of Sur Orsola Benicasa in Languages and International Cooperation. And she earned her PhD, summa cum laude, with the highest possible honors. So a little bit about her story. She was born prematurely, only 6 months gestation due to a detached placenta, sometimes called placenta previa. I know that because my wife had a partially separated placenta with our second child, so I know all about that. And she suffered serious health consequences because of it. She was blind and has something called spastic tetraparesis, which is a form of cerebral palsy in which all four limbs, arms and legs, are weakened. But despite her disability, or maybe even perhaps because of it, Mary developed tremendous talents, of the primary of which was she just loved languages. And she speaks three languages fluently. She also has been studying music and composing since the age of 13. And she has a very exuberant spirit. And she wrote her doctoral dissertation entirely in French, which her mother was very proud about. So even though she's Italian, wrote her doctoral dissertation in French. And she defied society's expectations with her tenacity, her perseverance, the way she excelled academically. And when she did her doctoral defense, she had to do it via online because of COVID. Usually you go into a room and you're grilled over your, what you wrote and things like that. And you get a grade, either you pass and you're a doctor or you have to come back. And she passed with flying colors. And it just was very inspirational to me because we live in a society that says that people like this should not even be alive.
Right.
And look what amazing things she's able to accomplish.
I can't, and I think about the positive support that she had to get, to be able to do these things, that people weren't just out of hand, like, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And putting barriers in her way. The positive support that she can do it, and she did do it. I mean, I think that's fantastic.
Well, and you look at a case like this and think, okay, what am I ever going to complain about ever again? My friend, she runs the Semper Fi Fund, and they help wounded warriors for all service branches. She's amazing. And you go to their events. They have a big thing before the Marine Corps Marathon, and they have events all over the country throughout the year to help people. And you see people who are paraplegic, quadriplegic, burned all over their bodies from being in battle. And I'm sitting there like saying, okay, I'm never going to complain. Of course, I master the art of complaining. But I say to myself, right. Never going to complain ever again. Or what can I complain about? And so you hear this story about her. I mean, overcoming every obstacle. It's like, okay, this is another reason to be grateful to God and have a winning attitude.
Now, how old is she? Does it say?
26.
So young. So
yeah,
young.
I know. To
so
get her doctorate at only 26 years old and... you know, it's going to be amazing to see what the Lord has in store for her. And the thing I also took from this was no excuses. Sometimes, right. You know, we make excuses for not being great. You know, we're satisfied with being mediocre. And when you look at someone like this, you're like, well, wait a minute, if she can do it, you know, and I think just give it motivation maybe to get off that dime and to take that next step in your life. Because sometimes when we get scared, we get nervous about, you know, challenging ourselves. We get comfortable, huh? We get comfortable. Mm-hmm. And we get comfortable, we get stuck, you know? And so look at a crucifix. You get Jesus had to take everything to the next level, to literally change the world, he had to get uncomfortable, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think a story like this, to me, is very inspirational. And see the value of all life. So someone that said, oh, look, her life is not worth much. She's blind and she's disabled. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, with the love and support, I'm sure with the strong faith, she's able to make great things. But see, God wants this for everybody, for every single person, not just for this amazing young woman, but for every single one of us.
Mm-hmm. And we tempted to get discouraged. I was thinking about Mother today and the story when she went in the chapel one time. You know, Mother had all these health problems and crutches and this and that. She's starting this network. It's, you know, insane. And so she had a rough day. She's like, Lord, why this? Why this? Why me? Why me? Why me? And at the end, she was quietly praying. And he says, Angelica, why me?
Oh.
She says, I never did that again.
Yeah, there you
Angelica,
go.
Why me? Yeah, that kind of like makes you like, okay, did he just kind of, I shall not speak of this again. You know? I mean, thank you, Lord, for just being so, you know, isn't that what just a good friend does? You know, you're just going off about something and they're like, let me remind you, dear.
Yeah, two amazing. Right. Three amazing women. We got this young woman we just talked about just now.
Yeah.
And we have Mother Angelica, you know, 39 years at the network. And then the Blessed Mother.
Amen.
So we got the trifecta Friday today.
We do. Ooh. We do. I'm very excited.
Well, let's hear what our Morning Glory listeners have to say.
Oh, we got an email from Raymond. He says, thank you for your show. I am a 64-year-old Roman Catholic male and go to church with my wife. I probably wouldn't attend if it were not for her. You guys are keeping me interested. Your show has been a great alternative to mainstream radio. I especially appreciate hearing words like fear not, be brave, trust in God, etc. This is much better than the virus statistics. Thank you again.
Aww. That's awesome.
So glad. Awesome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Got an email from Francesca in North Carolina. Thank you for your show today. I appreciate hearing your voices stand up and show how the Catholic Church can oppose injustice by becoming involved in the love of the human person. Also, great ideas in promoting diversity through movie watching and parish Zooming. Would love more movie suggestions.
All right, I got to do a chat on that. And I got a whole bunch of movie suggestions.
We got an email from Steve in Pennsylvania listening on Roku. Thanks for sharing the background on this incredible priest and saint. St. Maximilian Kolbe posed a great threat to the propaganda machine of the Nazi regime. Mm-hmm. He observed the greatest poison of our time is indifference, which still applies today. God bless and enjoy your weekend. Thank you.
Here we go.
You go ahead,
read this
Father.
One for you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Email from Dawn. Gloria, you get several pairs of readers at the dollar store and leave them all over. I had to submit to that idea several years ago. Love you guys. It's my vitamin M for the day. Have a great weekend.
It's like get a bunch of readers and basically leave them all over the house because I can't
find them.
You can
never
find
them though. Where'd I put them?
Oh my gosh, make me one of those people that walks around with this like chain around her neck and a pair of readers.
On your head.
Don't know. That
I can't
is so
find
funny.
My readers.
No, to be fair, that print y'all was extra small and it's early in the morning. Okay. All right,
What's coming up?
On Monday, you know, I got to talk about the juice about what's going on at McDonald's. They sued their former CEO, accusing him of lying and fraud, y'all. Y'all, the golden arches.
We'll talk about what is the real power of the Eucharist as well.
Mm-hmm. Pray that today everybody has a great Friday on this feast of St. Maximin Kolbe. Have a great weekend celebrating Our Lady and our Lord. And be filled with confidence in God's plan for you. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And dzień dobry. That's Polish for good morning.
This is Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.